Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Woo-hoo. Gosh, it is so good.
It is so good to be back.
So good to be back. And to be recording just local and with my boys.
This is a special episode, I feel like. It's very local at the same time.
Buy local, eat local, do dentistry local. Smile direct. Don't do smile direct. Buy local with your dentist.
Don't do smile direct, but do smile on.
We have our good buddy, Dr. Jeff Trimbley, back on the show with us.
Hey guys.
Welcome back, Dr. Jeff.
Jeffrey.
And then me and Payray.
Payray doing our things again. Yes.
So I have no idea what this agenda is going to hold, but it'll be a good episode. I'm stoked about it.
I do want to talk about a little bit of things about, we have had quite a bit of questions and things about other students and dental students or young dentists wanting to know. So I'm going to go over.
They have a lot of questions.
They have, good questions too.
Good questions.
So some of those questions are related to, as we're going live, I'm actually living it here. Are you going to live it?
Yeah, too? I'll live it.
So
before we jump into these questions, yes. I want to get kind of a little bit of like where are we at? Yeah, I haven't talked to you in like forever. I want to know how things are going.
Yes.
Jeff's now a couple months into, you know, he just had his grand opening. So he's like legit now. And, you know, I kind of want to know where I was at. And I want to tell, and I can kind of give an update because I feel like that's kind of.
And you've been traveling.
Been traveling a bunch.
You do. Yeah. Every day I'm looking at Instagram and he's
grinding.
And traveling. Are you doing any internationals yet? Are you still?
Yes,
perfect. My phone almost breaks.
You need a pop socket, bro.
I do. Okay, here. That's good.
All right. So what's good with you? Give me the update, Payman.
So I am actually going.
Oh no,
dude! We are breaking everything.
It's oh my god!
It's okay.
We did break something. But that's not
whose fault was that, Payman? Hey,
that was Jeff.
Listen, we're gonna do it.
We're gonna do a great time.
It is a good time.
A drive to raise money for the stuff these guys are breaking in office.
It's a startup too. That costs a lot of money.
You can unison that. Put some unison. It'll bond.
It'll close.
Okay, so I have been going through a lot of changes.
I need that porcelain etch.
Some in a world of a front office. I'm going through learning how can I operate better in my. So what I'm realizing, the more and more I'm working, it doesn't matter what I do every day. It doesn't matter how much money or how much production I'm doing. As long as if I don't know what's going on, how much I'm collecting, none of that matters. So what I realize is
it's amazing how that changes when you're like the only boss. Like when you're the owner, it's like, wow, collections.
So we had $170,000 in account receivable.
Wow. And you're in for
from the time of about number. About 14 months now. Nobody has been doing my AR, and that was a misunderstanding. I felt like it's been on point because most of my practice is 88% fee for service, 12% insurance. So meaning this money should be brought in before I even finish the work. So not having that understanding, the communication. Anyway, so that's 100. Right now, we're working on that. I'm going through transitioning the front office. So I hired actually consultants. That's another big news. I hired a Jen Janicki group. It's called Mastery Lab. They're awesome people. So to be honest with you, and not to be biased by all means, I'm not going to say if they're good or bad. However, I've had great conversations.
Well, that's what I'm excited about doing because he's hired a consultant too. And so I'm excited to kind of get like, I want to hear what
goes on.
Yeah, like,
so this is mine. And then let me tell you how. So ours was started. I was referred by a great friend in the Coist Center, Linty. I appreciate her referral. I talked to Jen and I was super impressed by how she spoke with me over the phone. She's very approachable. Friday afternoon at like 9 o'clock at night, eight, I'm thinking of something. I'm like, Jen, I call her. She's right away. And she's like, hey, this is what you got to do. This. So I've been very impressed. They're supposed to come end of this month to come to the practice. practice. They do 2 days of training and practicing kickstart and then writing stuff. So they already logged me in. They got all my numbers. So next thing is for them to come in and see what's going on. However, before they come in, they know that I'm going through a lot with these front office.
Yeah, I was gonna, you took the words out of my mouth. I was like, you need to get some sustainable team members before you do it.
What they're doing, I called them and they said, Patty, who is a great, great coach, she put an ad out on Indeed, Craigslist, and she's talking to all these people.
Oh, so she's doing it for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
cool. And then she's like, hey, call this person right now. And I'm like, Gladys, call this person right now. So okay. She gets these people in.
She's kind of weeding
out. And these are great people. I've never had these so many credential people coming in, and she's got a list of questions for me to ask. She interviews them first, and then I interview them. And then if I'm, actually Gladys interviews them first, and then I go in and I pitch in, and I'm like, okay, these are the questions. And the questions that she raises or she asked me to, remember I emailed you yesterday, and I'm going to email you guys, and this is good stuff that you got to ask. And just talking and asking those questions, I learned so much more about the person. So some of them I was like, no. And then someone was like, this is actually good questions. So this is what's been going on in the past few weeks. And I know Jeff is the one actually got me excited about this whole consultant things, because he's like, I'm hiring one. I'm like, dude, you don't need one. You got this. You know, you can figure it out. And then I'm like, shoot, look at my account receivable. Look at my numbers.
Yeah, I need a consultant.
So...
Well, you know, the consultant issue, you know, I've talked, I did a lot of homework and talking to dentists who had used them, who currently use them. And basically the consensus, actually, before I talk about that, what I found was important for me is that I'm the artist who slipped in dental school. I was not getting A's in every dental class. Because of that, I think my clinical dentistry is better. But at the same time, you know, when I come in at the end of the day, I'm thinking about going to play volleyball or Photoshop, and I'm not thinking about what reports need to be run, what do I need to check. And my team isn't just going to volunteer this information.
No, they don't know any better half the time.
So it's like baseball. It's like baseball players. I mean, do you think Michael Jordan knew how to play basketball? Of course he does, but he still needs a coach. You still need people, or you can benefit from
somebody else who's outside looking at you instead of you wanting to figure it out because I'm the doctor. No. Right.
Well, and I think, Jeff, you're brilliant from a standpoint of most dentists, when they're doing a startup or when they're buying out of practice, when they're becoming the owner for the first time, they tend to wait till there's problems,
right?
Like a certain someone over there, when their ARs 180 grand.
Oh my god!
Then they call.
Yeah.
Versus, like, you know, because it takes a big leap of faith to spend the money now.
Yeah.
But to me, it's so much more beneficial because now you're going to set the trajectory and the foundation of, like, hey, this is the culture we're building. This is the way we're going to do things. Versus, like, Pam and I, now when we're trying to bring in consultants, we're having to somewhat retrain not only ourselves, but our team.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you're going to really benefit from it.
Absolutely. Now. And right now I've got a small team. There's only four of us right now. And I thought to myself, over the next 12 months minimum, would it be worth spending a little less than $3,000 a month for our systems to be intact, in place, to where when I bring a new hire on, they mesh with us instead of, you know,
instead of running it. Because my problem is exactly, I thought I got this the first year. Let me grow and then hire. However, when I see the numbers and when I see, you just said it the best. You said right now you only have four people. I should have had these systems down when I had nobody.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Meaning I am now having to retrain not only myself, because a lot of this stuff that I'm right now going back to tell them, is I'm contradicting myself. Because I told them, no, don't do it that way. And now I'm like, no, that's the best way to actually do it. So a lot of this stuff, it's good that you don't know. It's kind of like a dentist or a patient that hasn't had any work done versus you trying to fix four dentist problem in the bite and everything.
Or like the patient that walked in this afternoon to me that has the six front crowns prepped and they're in temporaries.
Uh-huh. And then you got to do the final. So that's exactly with the consultants. There's so many things that they pointed out. And I'm like, wow, they're thinking with their brain and not their heart, which is good.
Well, and they're not thinking like a dentist. Well, they're thinking like a business owner.
Even some didn't, because even like me, I'm like, you always see the positive in people, right? You're like, oh, well, I got this. They got potentials. Potentials
don't
make mean
they'll make anything. Monthly payments.
They make yes.
They'll make their payments
However,
on time.
There are so many variables in this game of dental office, running a dental office, that you don't know till you get this professional help. However, one of the things I say that to Jeff too, when I wanted to do this, when I first opened, I didn't know who to hire, who to trust, because I always think that, oh, my office is going to be different. I don't do a general. I don't have a hygiene. So these people need to know I'm not a cookie cutter general practice. I do not make money based on hygiene practice. My hygiene production is $2,000 a month after 18 months of being open. So now, meaning like, are they going to learn me, or am I going
to
be...
Are they going to try to fit me in their
system? Are they going to fit me into their system?
This is what I think
is cool. And that's a good coach, right?
Right. So my consultants that I'm working with, Jameson... Who Mark?
Mark was a big fan of Hyman.
He recommended them. And what I think is cool about the fact that we're not, you and I, not really cookie cutter type offices. Mine maybe a little bit more than yours, but I could feel excitement from the Jameson team. I've talked with three of them so far. They're coming in at the end of the month, but I could feel a sense of excitement from them because they have a wealth of knowledge, experience. And they get to come see, you know, the lowest hanging fruit in my office and start on that. But also, I think it excites them, because how boring would it be to be a consultant and doing the same thing every day?
Yeah, and have boring dentists who aren't motivated, who don't care. They're you know, yeah.
So, you know, my advice is I want to come in and just not have to, it just for things to be taken care of.
Without and you having to worry about it.
Like, well, do you have an office manager, Jeff?
I do. However, having an office manager, and I don't even know what reports I want her to pull
On.
Yeah.
But you have somebody in place to like help. That's what I was
Absolutely.
Curious about. Yeah. I just don't like the word office manager, because I feel like ultimately I'm the office manager. And everybody else is going to be, I'm directing them. I don't say office manager is a bad lead or title. I just don't like the fact that anybody in the office feels as
you're still the boss.
Well, no, I'm saying there's got to be a financial coordinator. Then there's got to be a treatment coordinator. Somebody needs to take care of the clinical side. Somebody needs to take care of the money side. When you say office manager, I feel like, I don't know. I just have the problem with managers.
How about dentist manager?
Yeah, but I think inherently.
Now, do you have an office manager solely?
No.
So exactly.
Don't.
Like how? So who's the office?
We're the office manager.
Exactly.
But the problem with that is that all falls on me. I'm the one running the reports. Like at some point we will get one, or I will promote someone within one, because I want to delegate more away, right? Like I don't want to deal with some of the petty questions and things that either team members have, or, you know, hiring, firing, some of that stuff. Like an office manager is in more of a leadership managerial role by definition. Now, it may not be that case in yours, Jeff, I don't know, but I think that's the appearance or thought, is that they would roll more stuff in.
You know, the other real important thing that I'm excited about is by the time this is over, I will have a operating manual that will include everything that I will Smile in Nashville manual. So, you know, my dad ran summer camps in the summer where we'd have like 600-700 kids, have like 100 each week, different locations. Uh-huh. And man, it was very important to have that manual, because we had, you know, 12 people employed, about half of them would be new every year.
How long was that manual made? Like, how old was that manual?
Well, every year it got updated.
So you updated it.
But that's the beauty of it. Once it's in place.
It's like a constitution.
Yeah.
Well, and but here's the kicker of this. So, and this is kind of, so my experience, and this is where we drop the ball so much as an office, is because we don't have an office manager, that falls on Dad and I. And we are not good, constant, active leaders in that role. So, like, our manual, like, we got in here, we made a manual, we're all excited about it. And now the manual's, like, outdated. And yeah, it's like a piece of, you know, doesn't have anything. But that's on us, right? Like, we haven't...
You got to push
it. We haven't made the manual, letter of the law, and, like, updated it and stand behind it. And because then if the manual didn't have something I like, it'd be like, well, it's Sorry, it's not manual.
I mean, you know, that's the other thing. I hate answering questions on the fly. I mean, I really do. So I'm going to say reference the manual. If it's outdated, then, you know, honestly, a meeting a month to go through and kind of cross through the stuff, mm-hmm. it's all digital. And then you're supposed to update it. Every time you update it, you put the new date on there.
Is that what the consultants are making also for you?
Yeah. And so
it will be really nice.
Yeah.
But my point is you got to lead it though. Like you got to be the one that's like, this is the, like, go see the manual. Like, did you look
at
the
manual? You have to enforce it in a way that's,
because I think that's where we suck a lot of times.
Yeah.
As a dentist, is we don't.
Because we're so busy in other things, and especially you and I right now, that we're also getting outside the office realm of not being there every day, for example. That's hard too, because the more I'm out, the energy's out too. The motivation is out. Like, everything, now I'm coming back. Well, good thing is for Soli is that his dad is also there. So it's going. But for me, if I took off Thursday and then came back Monday or the Tuesday, and if I was out of town, there's a lot of that motive is gone. A lot of that stuff, I have to get him back to the reality of, hey, we got to get back on track. Hey, and that's one thing. I felt like hiring a consultant is going to make everybody responsible, even me, to task. It's going to give me duties and tasks to do. As far as what I needed to do.
So January, here's my suggestion. January 11th podcast is the 6-month update on our consultant.
I love it.
Experience.
Let's do that.
Because right now we're talking about something we don't really know.
Well, so my advice to y'all, having kind of had some consulting recently and trying to do this, is it can be the best consultant in the world, but you two have got to lead. Like you got to stand behind the consultant, you got to back them, and you got to enforce it, and you got to make it, you got to believe in it, because if you don't and you kind of like show up and think they're just supposed to all handle it, they'll be like, oh, this is another thing he's doing. He'll be done with it in 2 weeks. And then you'll get pissed and won't be successful. And so that's my challenge to y'all two is
to
make it successful.
Make it happen.
Freaking dive in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Trust it.
That is so true.
Trust them.
Let's talk about one thing that I know a lot of people also have problems with is creating that team. Yeah. Now, the team building is a big part of running that practice in a way that you want to run it in the sense of if you are a private practitioner and you are taking a lot of PPOs, insurance, because that's another thing I'm going through. So pretty much what I'm doing, I'm going through insurances and I'm dropping them and becoming out of network more and more. So that's another thing I want my consultants to do, because I'm not...
It's not out of network. You're just an unrestricted provider.
Unrestricted I like provider.
So here's my fear of going out of network. Or excuse me, Jeff, becoming an unrestricted provider. That was better real put. Here's my fear with that, Payman. Do you feel like you get, because look.
No.
Yes.
No. Yes. I do know exactly what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
Do you know that you're getting how many patients or referrals from your insurance people, or how many active patients do you have that they come and they found you because of the insurance?
No. How many patients that you do dentistry on have insurance?
Oh, a lot.
Have insurance that you're a network in?
A lot.
Right.
However.
So my concern is, and my thought is, okay, let's not look at the fees, look at that. Because obviously you're doing more dentistry than their insurance will pay for.
100%.
Exactly. So my only fear in doing that is lose the at-bats?
Yes.
Because right now you're getting a lot more at-bats because you're in network, mm-hmm. and you're still being successful in capitalizing more dentistry with them.
Sure.
But are you going to lose just even the at bat? Because they're going to be like, he's not a Delta provider. So I'll go to the other guy.
But okay, so this is how I thought about that. And that's what exactly, because I, most of the money I do make, about 13% comes from insurance from the time I opened till now. 87% is either fee for service, care credit, or cash check or card. Now, what I realized is lots of those patients that did come in, because of their insurance or because I was in network, I started seeing them. I created such a big value to what their mouth needs and everything. And then instead of them coming in for one crown, now they're moving in for $15,000, $20,000,
right.
Today $24,000. But insurance was not the reason they came. They went on the website, because that's the first thing I always ask, how did you find me? And I made that a rule for every single assistant that I have ever. The first thing they're going to ask is, where do you, how'd you find us? Because that gives me so many information about them, because parts of the advertising I do different sources, and friends hang out with same friends, and knowing if these people are from the same people, what kind of treatment their friends chose. So anyways, I asked that. A lot of these people, it's not insurance that they found me, it's through Google and reviews. So they go online, very, very, very few call their insurance companies, older folks, call the insurance companies and ask who is in network with me. And they give them a list and they go online and search. However, I talked to my consultant. That's another thing I said yesterday. I was like, I'm so sick of this. Because again, $160,000 account receivable.
I'm with you.
It is all insurance. We're waiting on them. They're saying this, add more information. And I'm like, I've already seated these cases and I'm done and I haven't even got paid. And they're needing, for example, like simple as pan x-ray. They need it for 4 months and nobody submitted this pan x-ray to get paid for. And there are so many little things that adds up to come 160 grand to where I was like, what do? I want to drop these. And they're like, no, do not drop them till we come in and let's figure out, let's write down the numbers. Let's get how many active patients you have, different insurances and all that.
So when you think of what insurance provides, it's essentially, they provide free,
Preventative. Yeah.
And your office isn't a big hygiene thing. So, but I opened this office day one, not in network with any insurance.
And that's without very, a single very patient. Interesting. Because listen to this.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is very ballsy to me.
I'm jealous.
So you started it. You wanted to be in no network, but you were in network before when you were in different offices, correct? So you were, your name was already in network.
It was, but when it came to opening this office here, what, you know, a lot of patients followed me and I found, you know, cause let's say you have a patient who has insurance, they come comp exam, cleaning, x-rays, and then they do their 6 month follow-up. How much of their insurance money has already been extracted of their $1,000 limit?
Sure.
Almost about half of it.
Maybe not that much.
Close to it.
With write-offs, it's only like $150 probably.
So then the only other benefit of insurance is to put a price cap on the work. So, you know, in insurance, if you're in network, they set the fee. Delta, you can't even negotiate that fee.
Right.
So, you know, when I looked at this, I talked to a lot of other dentists. The way I think you can get around it is you have got to have a very clear and concise way of explaining it to patients over the phone when they call. So when patients call and ask, do you take my insurance? Yes, we do take.
Of course
you do. Yeah. If they want to ask about in network, then we say, no, we're not in network. But we also explain that, you know, I've got, and this is something I even want to shore up much better on
the
phone.
They need to be so tight with that. Yeah.
Well, look at Steven saying fee for service is the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
He's my guru.
For sure it is. It definitely is. And the other crazy thing is that I've got a lot of patients who, so I've opened three offices from scratch. That's the only thing I've ever done. I'm 8 months into this one. And what I found that's really interesting is at the further I do it in whatever office I'm in, I get a lot of people who went to Delta or who went to one of these chain, corporate offices.
Sure.
Who have realized that, they took my insurance. I didn't have to pay going in or out. But now, you know, I was in there eight times. They couldn't fix it. They're trying to sell me all this stuff for perio. And, you know, and people start sensing something's going on. Because if you are a PPO office, you've got to be doing some things that stretch what you deem to be moral or right in your treatment of dentistry. I really believe that. So instead of, you can either fall into that cycle or jump one or two hurdles in the beginning and establish yourself. And that's what I'm seeing is that I've got so many patients who come in who want me to repair. I'm not saying you can't get good dentistry at a chain, but I've got so many friends who've done it. And you know, so, you know, that's the other end. If you're a PPO office only, you have got, you're working on lowering the overhead, decreasing the patient time and you're running a mill.
Or you come like we do, in which you just become more of a super GP type practice because you have to, you have to accommodate more stuff to increase more value.
Yeah.
This is how I look at it. Everything goes with all this insurance because it's such a cliche we're talking about, right? Insurance, like, oh my God, insurance. The way that I think the best thing for any young dentist getting out or any dentist, if you practice excellence, if you make your office practicing excellent dentistry and not think about insurance and not think about how am I going to get patients, if you create an experience for the patient that comes into your office for one visit and they are leaving and not deciding what to do or the treatment plan, then you have lost, not the insurance game, nobody else but you. You did not make a good impression. You did not make a value. You did not do anything to get this patient excited about wanting to do this case or wanting to move forward with the treatment plan. It is not the insurance company. It is not their financial situation. It's like you have to get these patients' emotion involved and drive and get them excited, because think about how many of these folks have gone through shit dentistry, bad, poor insurance. Nobody takes care of them and they had pain and all kinds of stuff. It's your job, if you want to set up that office in the philosophy that we're thinking of to do great dentistry, is if you get your mindset out of insurance is going to do this, do what's the best thing for the patient and create that experience, then you will see your patients that will pay is a whole lot more than the insurance will pay, meaning your office is already becoming a fee-for-service type of a...
You know, the other thing that I think is important, because I got there, my old office that I just left was in a very well-to-do area as a boutique office, but it was 100% PPO. We had a lot of issues with that, partly because it starts to change the way you think as a dentist. You know, like where I would treatment plan. And I know
for our root canals. I'm like, crap, I'm not doing that. It's $500.
Yeah.
Well, even to the point where...
It's true.
You know, I would...
Your mindset changes because you're afraid they say no.
Right.
No.
So here, let me finish this thought. So let's say somebody has, they need a crown on 19. Well, and they also have a couple fillings that they need that are maybe on the other side. And I got to where I was playing this balancing game of like, I tell you what, let's do this crown now. This decay, you're going to be fine to wait five more months.
January.
Yeah. Come back in January. Yeah.
No, that's definitely true.
And I just don't want to be thinking that way. Like, that's just not.
I guess, I don't know. I don't notice it that much. And that's maybe just because we have, I guess we probably still have like a 20% or 25% of our practices fee for service. So, I don't know what they have, what they don't have. You know,
but see, that's another thing for you. It's so hard because you came into a practice that was how many percentage? What's the percentage insurance?
It was probably 85%. We're probably down more like 75%.
So you kind of, in the past 3 years, you brought it down.
We definitely have.
What have you done to do that? Like, what is your?
Well,
tips?
And so that's my question to you, and that's where you have to figure out too. Is okay? So right. So ultimately, what we're doing by going in network is we're taking the write off. Or the marketing budget, and we're taking it in the hit of a write-off. That makes sense? Like, I don't have to market as much because technically I would have patients coming to me because they're a network with that's what's why we would do it as dentists, right? Because we think we're going to get more patients because we're in network with them.
Right.
That's the whole premise of being a network.
Well, hasn't it changed over the years?
Well, I don't know. So then the question becomes, well, if you're not going to go in network, let's say we want to be unrestricted to do whatever we want to do, then how do we – I think you have to be willing to understand that you're probably going to have to spend more money on your marketing budget.
Sure.
Because let's take it this way. Let's take my practice. Let's say 25% of my patients are Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee. Okay. And let's say that we have $150,000 in adjustments from those patients, that 25% over the first year or over a year. Let's say Delta is another 25% and it's another $150,000 in adjustments. So basically what I'm saying is in theory, I'm spending $300,000 to have these patients. That makes sense? So I could take that money and use it to market and marketing and get patients that are fee for service who would pay full fee and it becomes a net. Does that make sense?
Perhaps, but I guarantee you less than 50% of them, like maybe your marketing budget brought 50% of those insurance patients in anyway.
You that's know, the
like,
hard part. You're exactly right. Well, and that goes back to, you know, do people know how much are you spending on marketing? Where, and that's where what payment's talking about is so important, of where are you getting your patients? Is it Google? Is it the insurance?
You know what though? You got to ask even more questions when they say Google.
Well, no, that's what I ask. I say, no, they say internet. I'm like, yeah, I laugh. Do. Well, I'm like, no, you're not gonna pass with that. You're gonna
you don't get the collect $200.
Google's an easy answer, but what you should, and I really think that you'll get to doing this the more you become fee for service. You should ask, cool, did you see an ad? How specifically? Think back to it.
Especially the ones that are coming in and dropping 20 G's. Yeah. Those are the ones I really want
to
know.
Well, the good ones are really, to be honest, and I think we all agree that there are word of mouth from referrals that we've already worked on. Like those are the money patients that you've already done a $20,000, $30,000 and they're going to go all tell.
Well, and that's why growth is exponential. That's why it's right now, it's a snowball. 100%. I agree. Because nothing is like internal referrals.
The Instagram is the best. And here's why.
For me,
so anybody
not.
Can.
Mine is bloody. Because you're thinking about your demographics, though.
Mine is bloody.
Most people who don't have teeth are on Instagram. Yeah. Now, cute girls who need veneers are... Jeff has the way best job, by the way. Think about what he does. Like, Jeff only works on super hot chicks. And like good-looking dudes.
He does. He works on all the doctors.
You work on a bunch of very nice people, I'm
very
sure.
Nice. Very nice
people.
Watch,
I love it. Very nice people. But it's kind
of
funny.
They do have teeth. Most of them do.
They're just all terminal.
or terminal.
Well, you know, asking in-depth questions, I think is good. I even ask when they put Instagram, I say,
what is this?
Gum. That's called Mentos gums.
Watermelon. Chew it.
And then you can eat it if you want, but I wouldn't.
Don't wash those things in your pocket, man.
They go horrible.
Well, I didn't know because you just gave it to me.
Okay. You know what though? You don't want to be chewing gum in the mic because I can hear it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I can hear it now.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I love talking about anything except for insurance. So, if I could direct my energy, because it's important. Are they finding you on the internet because they're specifically looking, or because Google put something in front
Facebook,
of them?
Facebook, Instagram,
or
ads, and everything.
Even Instagram.
Yeah.
When people say Instagram, I say, well, did I come up on the Discover page?
Explore page?
How did you look on hashtags?
Hashtag veneers.
And I'm telling you, it's important to know because you can tailor.
I think it creates a validity when they see pictures and photos. I heard from a very good financial advisor that your right side of the brain is where, or patient's right side of the brain is when you talk to them about any cases or any treatment plan. Their right side is what's active. It's what makes them want to do this. What is right side is all visual. It's all the things that you want to show them. So when it's something that you show them or they see over the thing, that's where they drive them. Now, not the numbers. A lot of times we get hung up on like, oh, I don't want to say $20,000 to this patient because it's going to freak them out. So I'm going to say $500 a month for this much. But that's the left part of their brain. That's the analysis. They're not going to, they need emotions. They want something where they're not going to, oh, I want to have that pretty smile. I want to have that beautiful set of veneers. I want to have this because it's their vision. So when I get them in, I get excited with all kinds of visuals. And I show them, this is your case. Let's discover what's going on in your mouth. Instead of me telling them authoritarian, I'll be like, hey, this is what you need. I'm the doctor, you're the patient, but I'm not going to tell them that, but I'm going to be like filling on 4, root canal 6, implant on 8, and that's it. And I'll leave the room and let's have an assistant to take care of that. Instead, I'll sit down and we co-discover, we co-diagnose me and patient looking at their mouth and we give a tour. We go through a tour in their mouth. It's like freaking Disneyland. I have fun. We go from 14 to 12. Like, this is what's going on. They're like, oh,
so
wow.
So the only part where this can get even better is when you can delegate that. Because when you've got
exactly
a team member that's...
If you can have somebody...
And you could be doing a surgery
100%.
There, because that's a delegatable... Like, you can train someone to do that better than you can.
Oh, 100%. They can talk and this is what they do. You know what they say? And these are good tips for anybody want to listen. These are all guides and I'm listening. I'm telling you. they ask some of these great people, they ask the patient when they come in, what do you do? That's the first thing. They don't care where they come from. They ask, what do they do? When this person says trucks, or I drive a truck, or I say that, all of these analysis, the vision and the visual in the person who is presenting this treatment plan is going to go relating what they do to what I'm going to offer. If they don't know anything about implants, I'm going to make that implant feel like a car and drivers and tires. And this is what goes on in the mind of somebody who's talking to this. So it's all really comes down to it is science. There's a science of persuasion and making them, at the end of the day, we're not selling luxury Gucci and bags, hand purse and boats. We're giving health. We're giving something that's part of their body. It's a necessity. Everybody needs to be smiling just like this girl. Mm-hmm. And Savannah, it's not something we're doing extra. So I don't feel bad, or I don't feel
Can we get a live shot?
Savannah, because Savannah's...
We're going
Savannah on. Is a smile on Nashville patient, by the way. Savannah Hodge.
I got her already.
Hashtag but Savannah Hodge.
Seriously, it's a lot more than selling dentistry. Everybody's like, oh, I don't want to sell. You're selling every day.
Oh, I freaking love it. I use the word sell all the time.
Yeah.
If you can't sell the value, you can't do
it. You can't do it.
There's nothing more you own than your smile, too.
Yeah, you put it on every day.
Yep.
Every day.
That's a good quote.
You know, I mean, there's very few things you own more than your smile.
All right, Jeff, what are you, what's the highs and what's the lows so far of 8 months open?
The highs have been doing it my way. And when I say that, I like to slow things down. I like to, like you were talking about payment, I'm to the point now where I can almost diagnose and treatment plan better using my high resolution photos. Mm-hmm. So when I do cosmetic consultations, I get x-rays. My assistant does an interview. She introduces me to the patient, and that works really well because I think patients like talking with somebody who's not the doctor. She's very good at that. So I do a quick exam just to make sure there's not anything obvious that I need to be aware of, like a fractured cusp or exposed
something
pulp,
that
something
that needs to be brought up by you instead of somebody like, hey, by the way, this tooth needs to be extracted. So you got to kind of say the big stuff,
right,
and then you leave the room. You let delegate somebody else do that.
Well, so what I really love is this routine. So then once I do the exam and I kind of review again what they talked about with my assistant, because I want them to hear my assistant relay it to me.
That's so important. Everybody that just is listening, it is so important to hand off in front of the patients, because if you hand off behind the patients, then you're robbing the patient the opportunity to change their mind, object what they're like when they get the, when they hear what they are telling the assistant, and it all of a sudden changes. Like, well, no, I didn't mean that, or I do care about cosmetics, or so. Sorry to interrupt you, but huge
that's okay.
Point. Great point.
So then my favorite part then is we go into the. I have a photo studio in here. And I take series of photos, and it's fun, you know.
Now, you're charging patients for these as a consultation fee, or what are you doing? What are you wasting, or not wasting? What are you spending? Are you doing that for every single patient
value.
That walks in?
He's creating value.
No, I know, but are you doing that on any patient that walks in your office, or is there a consultation? I want to know, because I'm actually now going into charging patients for consults for $100, because I was doing it for free before.
Well, it all depends on how much you want to do in the cosmetic consultation. So, there will be adjustments to it, because I just don't like there being barriers to come into the room. But at the same time, you don't want to be taking an FMX impressions, taking photos, editing them, and doing all
nothing.
That. Yeah. So, and I've been burnt with that before, but let me just finish this routine, then I'll talk about that. So we take the photos. After the photos are taken, I guarantee you nobody's taking more diagnostic impressions than I am. Just because I have them, we can make whitening trays with them. We can send it off for wax up. I can mount it on the articulator. I can find point of initial contact.
Except if you had trios.
I know, man.
Or CERAC, you could show them on a screen.
Right.
And they'd be like, wow.
When they leave the photo room, what they do is they go back with my assistant to take upper and lower impressions. On occasion, if I know it's going to be a big restorative case, we'll do the face bow, which is super simple. I mean, I've already trained everybody how to do that. While they're doing that, I pull...
Yes, everyone. He just said a face bow. He actually did say a face bow.
And he's actually good. Right. He's because, by the way, we have a mutual assistant, Summer, that works for me now.
That happens to know how to use one.
And she knows everything about face bow and articulators. Right. And that's because of...
That's something I need to learn from y'all. I need to get my face bow.
Get the Panadent.
Yeah.
Panadent simple. Is very easy. Okay. Shout out to Coys Center.
We'll talk more about that later.
But no, so okay. Then, so what do you do after?
So they leave me. They go in the chair to do the impression. And again, that's fun. My assistants have
fun. Do the patients ever
say,
like, why are you putting this in my mouth? What are you doing? What is this for?
Well, again, these are for people who come in wanting restorative, functional. Like big restorative cases. Okay. So...
Here's your just everyday new patient.
No. But the cool thing about, and I was telling you slowly, I've got the CE to offer the course. I just have to put it together for dentists. My biggest strength right now is being able to take 20 or so photos in RAW that everything's already white balanced. I know all the settings. I capture these photos. They go into the room with the assistant to do impressions. I take that memory card, put it in my computer. I pull the RAW photos. I organize them into a folder on that card. You know, so all my cards are really organized.
Processing. You have a nice setup that you.
My workflow is beautiful. Yeah. I then copy the RAW images into a folder under the patient's name. Then below that, I have Lightroom exports. So what I do is I pull all those photos, the RAW photos, into Lightroom. And occasionally, you're just going to have to make some edits. Like when I say edits,
rotating right, left, angle, and sizes.
Yeah, just universal. Not
right.
You know, just exposure maybe here and there.
Not to enhance any photo. However, you want to put them in a nice organized manner where patients see it and like, oh, wait, this is lower jaw, this is upper jaw. Like they look at it and sure. They're like, bam, I know.
So then I export these photos because a RAW photo is basically the largest file format you can have. It's like pulling you ever try to drive by an 18-wheeler that's got a mobile home on its thing on the interstate and it's just blocked? That's what a RAW photo is. It's too big. So I export it as a small JPEG that I can work with.
Put it on his phone. He can put, because it's a memory card. You just put it on, right? Is that you export it to
a memory
server?
All of ours are on a server and probably just RAW.
So, but here's the thing, you want to, once you make those like big adjustments, you know, if you need more exposure or white or, you know, luminosity or whatever, then you export that in into a smaller file format that you can actually use. Every picture that I put up on Instagram, it's exported for that size, 1,000 by 1,000. So I always export the short edge to be 1,000. So like 1,000 pixels. And the reason that's so important is because I can export these and pull them all up for the patient and they come and sit by me. And at this point, I'm diagnosing and planning while I'm doing this editing because I'm so much better at it with the photos now than I am clinically because I can see better. I can, you know, I'm not having to worry about
it. You're not talking to them.
At the same time, you know what's funny is that while you do that is patients noticing a lot more than you think.
Of course. So they come and sit with me mm-hmm. and they're the ones pointing stuff out.
That you don't even care about.
Right.
They're like, oh, what about this? And you're like, well, there's a little recession there. And they're like, oh, well, how do I fix it? Like it raises questions and the visual, right part of their brain is thinking, why is this in my mouth?
Well, because they're not so much the patient there. They're consulting you about a case because mm-hmm.
they're just... They're co-diagnosing, co-discovering what's going on in the tour of their mouth. Yes.
And so, then at this point, if they want to move forward, we... a lot of different ways to go from there. But I'm telling you, the greatest thing that I've done that and nobody really taught it to me was going through the photos with like the cosmetic consult doesn't end at me in the chair with them. It ends with them in my office reviewing their photos. And then, so that's like, you know, the case acceptance,
the
understanding.
How long does this process take for you, start to finish?
no more than an hour.
Are you still taking the photos?
I am. I am real close to not be taking them because of my jig. I'm almost done with it.
That, yeah, a human jig. Your team to do it.
Well,
yeah, because you're with your jig. That would make that sense.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to be like, you should have shot this photos? At a different angle.
No.
Listen, when I make the jig, I'll give both of you one.
Be fantastic. I'm taking some, but right now, I bought totally into the picture thing. So all our new patients now all get photo. Smile shot, retracted smile open, perfect. You know?
Yes.
And
those are great.
Lower occlusal, two buckle shots.
Are they doing this in the dental chair?
In the dental chair.
Okay, so that's another.
That's the problem, though. Is like
you don't want to do it in the dental chair. It's too hard.
But it's not for. I mean, I would. One, I don't have a freaking. You see in my office, I don't have room for a freaking thing. Two, we're seeing six new patients a day, plus we're taking pictures of something else. It's not like. I need something that's, and we're trying to work through all our existing patients.
Well, the only reason I said.
And if you guys, in the middle of this, if you guys, anybody goes to Sully's office, you cannot find a space to walk. In a normal
3D printers in the freaking chair.
So many
this things is why I'm going saying
on,
it, Sully.
So many colors on Dentrix that I've never seen that many colors in a schedule.
The worst chair to take these photos for somebody is one that has an extension like a dental chair
where you can't get in front of them. It's terrible.
Like most of the things that I see on Instagram that are just terrible dental photos and
mine.
I always know it because the angles are all off. Like either they're off center or they're shooting down
from the top. Yeah.
Up because and it's our really vision hard.
Is not the same.
Like, it's really hard to do it in a dental chair unless you're standing behind them and everything's upside down. That's why you need to make the them mirror. Do it that way.
So what I do though is I have them typically. I try to have them sit sideways, sit up on the flat part of the dental chair. With their legs over so that they're, and then raise the chair up so they're level playing field with them.
Okay.
That's how they
do you have the flat soft boxes?
No.
We're just using ring flashes for that. Oh, I know. It's terrible.
Well,
it's baby steps though.
A whole lot more than he used to do or that the office used to do because.
Well, first we never, well, first off,
for $100, for $100 mount, you can have your soft boxes mounted like payments and then just try this. Lay the chair flat. And do everything where the patient's flat and then your person standing, because you want to be shooting down at least 15 degrees for diagnostics and everything. I mean,
15 degrees down. You know why 15? Your eyes, when you look at, for example, when I'm looking at you and you start talking, my eyes are looking down at your teeth. So when you're seeing these photos, your vision is also looking at how am I going to look at somebody's smile is a little bit
slightly. The curve of speed becomes real.
Right. And that 3D dimension, that's why you want to be slightly above the occlusal plane.
That explains all my problems. I'm just looking at your Botox. Seriously. How good it's going to look.
Dude, seriously.
I'm excited.
Lay that chair flat back.
Speaking of this, when is your core? Upside down. We're going to have a course here. Dr. Tremblay's already have his CEs. It's 12 hours of CE he's going to start offering. There are courses that he's going to be offered. There's also, I'm going to pitch this in, Miguel Ortiz also coming in town September 22nd. Huh?
Is he a baseball player?
He used to.
I'm kidding.
And now he's a photographer.
Miguel Cabrera.
No, he's a good prosthodontist, Harvard graduate, great guy, excellent teacher. He's going to do a one-day short hands-on course for any doctors that want to come into Nashville and party with me. And Sully is going to be a part of it too, I'm sure. And Tremblay, I'm gonna
be there.
But it's only one day. Again, we're not going in to try to say like this is what you got to do. Everybody does things different. For example, Tremblay, me, or Ortiz, or Eduardo, everybody. However, when you get in the room and discuss, you see what works best for your office. So that's a great learning CE to go and get network with a lot of folks.
Workflow. If you're gonna start taking pictures, that's 5% of it. You've got to know how to pull.
But don't scare people. Just start taking pictures.
See, but my thing is just start taking. See, start taking pictures.
Yes.
Just start taking pictures because you got to start somewhere. And
they get intimidated when you start talking about Lightroom and they're like, oh, they lose you. They're like, oh, well, I don't know
how to open paint. You would laugh at our office. Half the time the girls put the pictures up, because we're freaking running a lot of people through there. So like it's, I don't have time to like, like our new patient exams, I'm not editing these pictures. They're throwing up there what they got. Half the time they're out of focus.
Dude, you need to bring your girls to take my CE.
Oh, and I totally agree. Yeah. I totally agree. Oh, I'm 100% down with educating them more. It's just my point in this being is it's amazingly how valuable an unfocused out of exposure picture still is to a patient because it's just everything's so foreign to them. So yes, a really good picture makes a big difference. But like when they can see the cavity on number two on an occlusal shot, like that's so much more value than me having to like tell them, yeah, you need a fillet on two.
One of the best things about taking photos is when you're done with the case and the patient has a question or they're concerned about one area that is like, oh, why is this off or why is this like not the same? You go back to those photos and you start showing them. And before you even open your mouth, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So meaning-
That's like, nice too. Yeah. Having some, it's a documentation of what it's for.
So I've used them for medical purposes, insurance. I've used a lot of these trauma cases like Tommy. We sent it. We finally got money from medical because it was a trauma case. He got hit. And who helped me? The x-rays, 3D slices. And I sent those with the claim. And whoop-de-doo, that was $1,500 picture. How much time did it take me? Really, all I had to do export and then save.
Dude, we got to do this more often.
I get, you know what? My only point in this, though, is like your team can and will do exceptional, predictable photos as fast or faster if they have the workflow down.
Oh, I 100% agree. 100% agree. And that's just where we lack right now.
And
part of it is I don't have a good workflow down. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm running too many places at once and don't have, I've dropped the ball there to some degree.
And what they need to start doing is, you know how, let's say I take 20 raw photos versus 20 that are exported at 1,000 pixels at 72 DPI.
Oh, the amount of storage there is.
Dude, your store, what they can do is upload the edited, exported smaller files to your Dropbox to where you see it update and then you've got them. You know how valuable it is that I have all my edited ones on my phone because I can then, you know, because I a lot of patients find me through Instagram.
Yeah,
a lot of patients text me and they have questions. I can shoot them the picture. It's just amazing.
Oh, that's huge value.
So yeah. I'm going to get them uploading those edited photos, tiny file size to your phone.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And I don't want to do any of that. That's my whole goal. But y'all know I delegate the crap out of everything.
But I mean, you do a good job. I mean, you've already done a great job of implementing a lot of things that was never.
Oh, getting 30-year employees, you know, who are 60 years old to take freaking pictures is a big deal.
And now you're going to be doing it with a smooth forehead.
Yeah, yes, I am.
I think they're going to listen to you more.
Botox in full effect today. Jeff Trimbley.
Awesome. We're going to be in touch. We're going to talk more about these courses. And have any more questions,
good content.
Anything as far as front office, I'm going through it myself. So I'm learning a lot. And I love sharing. And sharing is always caring.
And I gotta go pick up pizza for my wife. She's pregnant. Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Podcast Nation. I am having a baby.
Tell us.
Yes. What am I having? But I'm having a boy.
Woo!
Richard Hugh Sullivan V is
nice.
On the way.
Nice.
I'm so excited.
He's got no pressure to be the fifth dentist.
Dang.
But pretty cool. So having a boy in November. So.
Dude, I'm so excited. He told me about a couple
That's
months
so
ago.
Cool.
I was like, man, are you kidding?
Yeah, shit's getting real.
So what's going to happen? Sola's going to be in town for a while.
My travel is
going to
be super
going
cut down.
Which is
I'll
awesome, man. I'm very
spot.
Happy for you.
I love it. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Work smarter, not harder.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.